This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Of Tyrants and Tea Kettles by Leslie Heron. Chapter 10, Anthurium.
Warning, horizontal proximity limits reached.
The hazy red words flashing into his retina slowly swam into focus as Vel began to regain consciousness. The problem with having an AI built into your cybernetic eye is that you can never escape it, even with your eyes closed.
Snooze alarm, Vel mumbled. Just like 10 more minutes.
Confirmed. We'll resume imminent death warning notifications in 10 minutes.
Wait, what? Vel's eyes snapped open and immediately wished he hadn't. An overpowered spotlight was shining directly into his face, searing into the back of his skull. He clenched his eyes shut and tried to sit up. That's when he noticed the many leather straps restraining him to what he could only assume was an operating table. Vel struggled, but all he could really move was his head, and the light above him drowned out any details in the otherwise dimly lit room. He couldn't tell where he was or if he was alone.
Hello? Anybody there?
There was a shuffle of feet from what seemed to be a hall, and Vel could hear a person enter the room outside of his limited range of sight.
Uh-oh, the patient's awake.
The tiny voice pierced through him as he continued to struggle to upright himself.
Where am I?
Vel grumbled, turning his head to find the owner of the tiny voice. A small shadow began to take shape as it climbed into the path of the blinding light.
He's going into shock!
The tiny form directed this information to several more shapes building against the light. Vel tugged against his restraints. He could feel them all now. Thick bands of leather were strapped across his chest, waist, and above his hands and ankles.
What is this? Where am I?
He continued to pull against his bindings. Just once, he thought. He'd like a venture that didn't end with him being strapped or tethered to something. The owner of the voice began climbing up onto the table beside him.
We're losing him. We need to operate. Stat.
There was a sinister edge to the small child's words. Their tiny forms were finally taking shape as his eyes adjusted to the blinding light. Vel flexed his mechanical hand against the straps. It whirred angrily, and he could feel the thick leather bindings bend against it. But without the right leverage, he'd never break free.
Where's Piper? What's going on? What are you operating on?
A child of the tender age of 8 leaned over him, blocking out the blinding light. He was snapping the elastic hem of a fabric doctor's mask around his face. The small child's bright green eyes lit up with fervor as he began shouting orders at a growing number of shadows around them.
Scalpel! Scalpel!
Vel froze as he watched one small fist deliver a shiny silver knife over to his captor.
Wait a minute, what are you?
Pliers! Pliers!
Vel watched a different child hand over an oversized, rusty set of channel locks.
Whoa! Hold up! There's no need for...
Bonesaw! Bonesaw!
As the shadow of a large panel saw passed over his chest, Vel managed to coerce enough power from his mechanical arm to flex the leather bindings. It was almost enough elasticity to free his hand. Panic returned to him in full force, jump-starting his adrenaline. His AI began running numbers to determine the force required to break the straps. Typical. Instead of helping him figure out a way not to be murdered by children, his computer would rather educate him on just how futile his efforts were.
It's no use. I'm afraid the body's done for. We're going to have to attempt a head transplant.
The doctor child uttered these words to much awe and amazement from the growing number of children.
What?
Vel struggled once more against his bindings, pulling with all his strength as the bone saw slowly began to lower towards his neck.
"What in the blazes are all of you doing in here?"
A crisp, clear voice broke over the laughter of the children like a tidal wave. Collectively, they froze, and the group of urchins turned their heads slowly to gaze upon their source of panic. A silhouette of a thin man appeared just to the left of Vel's peripheral. He could only make out fuzzy details, as calculating numbers were taking up the majority of his vision. He was wearing a long and dark leather smock. His hair stuck up in all directions, and he could tell by the fear in the children's eyes that this man was glaring at them.
"The matron would murder me if she knew I let you lot in here. Now scamper off before I tell her," the man ordered with a shooing gesture.
The children broke into a fit of laughter as they dropped their instruments of torture and stumbled from the room. Vel breathed a small sigh of relief as his head dropped back to the hard table.
"Thank you. What was that all about? Where am I? What happened?"
The doctor pushed away the operating light and walked around the table.
"Piper says you're from another realm. I suppose that does explain these."
The man tugged gently on one of Vel's elongated ears.
"Luckily, your basic physiology isn't that different from ours, though."
The doctor finished his lap around the table and dropped into a padded rolling chair, scooting it closer to Vel's head so they could see each other.
"Now, I'm sure you've heard the cautionary tales of alcohol as blood thinners?"
The doctor's face broke into a small smile as he reached over and rattled a small bottle. A bloody ball of lead clattered around inside the glass.
"This nasty little bugger just missed your femoral artery. Combine that with a lowered capacity for coagulation, dilated blood vessels, and, well, you get the picture."
Vel could feel his cheeks starting to flush with color.
"Oh, so it wasn't poison that knocked me out?"
The doctor smiled.
"No, just stupidity."
Vel averted his gaze elsewhere, a little ashamed that he had not considered this before downing nearly a pint of alcohol. He noted, for the first time, the room he was in. Unlike his brother's run-down morgue-turned-office, this place bore an actual resemblance to an operating room. The tiles were shiny and clean, the walls were barren and scrubbed, and the scent of disinfectant was apparent.
"It is my professional suggestion that the next time you have a bullet wound, you pass on the wine. You're lucky to be alive."
The doctor got up from his chair and rapped a knuckle hard against one of the metal plates on Vel's side.
"I think this..."
He paused, running a finger over the scarring where flesh was fused to metal.
"Strange technology is what saved your life."
Vel shifted uncomfortably away from the unwanted touch. He cleared his throat and turned his attention back to the doctor.
"Well, that's good to hear. So, how about undoing these bindings?"
"Oh, no can do. Chester asked me to keep you secure during his procurement, meeting with Piper."
The doctor fell back into his padded chair and began scribbling on a freshly produced clipboard. Mel slumped back against the table. Of course, it was always money with that girl. He rolled his eyes as his AI began calculating its best estimate of what he might fetch on the black market. A door at the end of the hall burst open, the force sending it slamming hard into the scrubbed walls. Piper stormed into the room. Her anger was almost palpable as it radiated off her. Chester had followed her into the room, but at arm's length. Even at this distance, Vel could see the deep, greenish-purple bruises around the man's neck.
"What is the meaning of this? Daniel, unbind him! Now!"
Piper's nostrils flared while she delivered this order.
Now, Piper, please, reconsider."
Chester's tone, though calm and collected, reflected a sliver of panic. He came to an abrupt stop just short of her reach. His hands gestured out in front of him.
The augments alone could put you up for the rest of your life. You and your brother.
Piper whirled around, threatening him with a twisted look of pure rage. She raised a finger at him, but said nothing. She couldn't conjure the words. She was too angry. If anyone was going to sell this cyborg, it was going to be her. She whipped around on her heel and threatened the doctor with the same accusatory finger.
Unbind him this instant, or you'll have me to contend with.
Daniel wilted under her anger and immediately complied. He nodded furiously as he began undoing buckle after buckle. He gave Chester an apologetic shrug as he undid the last restraint. Vel rubbed at the growing welt on his chest where the leather had rubbed him raw. He twisted on the table to thank Piper for releasing him. Instead, he was met briefly with the palm of her hand as she slapped him hard across the face.
Ow! What the hell was that for?
He pushed his fingers into his cheek, massaging away the pain.
That's for nearly killing yourself, you moron!
She raised her hand again, despite the beginnings of tears in her eyes. Vel thrust his own hands up in defense.
Okay, okay. I'm sorry. I won't nearly die on you again.
Satisfied with this response, Piper unleashed her anger on Chester. He was just out of her reach, but she solved that with a few short stomps in his direction. She reached back with her arm and let fly a mighty slap to his face.
That is for being an insufferable asshole!
Chester flinched when her hand hit his face, but he remained rooted in shock.
Piper, please!
He managed at last, his eyebrows knitting together as he gave her a pleading look.
For the last time, no! Even if I was to sell him, I wouldn't come to you after what you pulled. Now tell me how to get in touch with me brother.
Piper's hands were on her hips, and she was glaring up at Chester with the unbridled rage of a bull. Vel was trying to decide whether that comment was sweet of her or not, when the realization came to him that he had been stripped down to his boxers. A sudden rush of unease washed over him, and he began to scan the room for his clothes. Chester was rubbing at the growing red mark on his cheek when he finally relented under her unwavering gaze. He put out his hand in a vain attempt to calm her down.
All right, all right. Just calm down, please. Your brother is supposed to check in with me every 10 days.
He began, as he heaved a sigh and folded his arms across his chest.
Except you know how he is with time.
He gestured airily with a hand.
He could be by later today, or it could be another month. I try not to force the issue with him.
Piper felt her rage diffusing. She dropped her hands to her side with a huff. Words were at a loss as she turned to face her companion, as if to ask him what their next move should be. Vel was struggling to force his legs through the tattered jeans. The doctor, it would seem, had sliced a sizable gash in the fabric all the way up to the thigh. The garment was barely holding together. He gave a withering look to Daniel as he fastened the snap at the waist.
Was this really necessary?
He gestured to his leg. Daniel turned a slight shade of pink, but said nothing. Vel threw his shirt on over his head and turned back to Chester.
Do you have any way of getting in touch with him?
He grumbled and ran his hand through his hair. Chester gave a short shake of his head.
If you want a more immediate audience with your brother, I'm afraid you'll have to take that up with the college.
Piper folded her arms, raising a defiant eyebrow at him.
You know only certified military personnel are allowed into college. How in the world are we supposed to get in there?
Vel slid his arms through his coat and stopped.
Wait, when we met, Didn't you say you were taking me to meet someone at the college?
With a roll of her eyes and a sigh, Piper replied,
Yes, but at the time I was just telling you what you wanted to hear because I was planning on selling you to those merchants.
Pirates.
Whatever.
She threw her hands up.
Besides, it's not technically a lie now, because I am taking you to the college. Somehow.
Piper tugged at her chin, pausing long enough to fall deep into thought. Chester smiled.
Well, I wish you both the best of luck, because you're going to need it.
He ripped off a slip of paper from the clipboard the doctor had been scribbling on earlier. He examined it for a moment, shrugged, leaned over the table, and began adding his own notes to the sheet. The smile never wavered from his face as he straightened up and handed the length of paper to Vel. He let out a chuckle as he gave the cyborg a hearty slap on the shoulder. Chester turned his attention back to the girl.
Piper, you and your mechanical friend are always welcome to stay here, should your plan fail.
Vel's AI was busy translating the foreign language and scribbled numbers into something more recognizable. After a few minutes, the numbers stopped calculating and landed on a large, incredibly large, monetary value. In his life, he'd never seen this many credits. Not even when he had ended up on that sandy beach filled with pirate treasure. His mouth fell ajar as he looked back up at the man.
Holy! Can't we just put the bullet back in?
Chester let out a bark of a laugh.
As much as I'd like to shoot you, no.
He turned on his heel and began walking out of the room.
Take your time paying me back. I'm in no rush. I have a generous annual interest rate of only 25%.
He stopped, his hand still stretching for the door. He glanced over his shoulder.
Or you could pay it off with some of those augments of yours. Your call.
He pulled open the door and held it, gesturing for the others to leave first. Piper gave him a scowl as she grabbed Vel's hand and pulled.
Let's go, Grandad.
To Vel's surprise, the tiny doctor's office had been inside the library, tucked into what had once been a book restoration room. The maze through the library didn't feel any less impressive as they ventured through it a second time. Vel only just managed to keep up with Piper as she stormed through the alleys of books. The doctor had done a wonderful job, and the night's rest had helped, but he was still recovering, and she was moving too fast. He could feel the stitches pulling with each stride. Vel watched as Piper knocked over leading towers of books and kicked at stray novels on the ground as though they were Chester's grinning face. He cleared his throat a little and tried to bring up some light conversation.
I guess it's a good thing he knew the local doctor. Did he call in a favor or just bribe the guy?
Piper's apparent anger melted with a sigh.
He didn't have to do either. Chester doesn't just know the local doc. He practically raised him, along with half the other artisans in Avis.
Vel couldn't help but quirk a brow.
Wait, what?
He followed her through the final opening in the library maze, stepping over the pile of books she had collapsed.
I thought the guild was a bunch of kids running around and stealing stuff.
Piper paused as she gave the old woman behind the desk another hug and made her way to the door. She threw it open and stepped out on the crumbling landing.
Yeah, a fair number of them do. But there's a reason he's holed up in a library. Knowledge is power and all that.
She turned back to her companion, pulling a mocking face at those words as she gave a half-hearted shrug. She made her way down the broken stairs, adding,
Anyone willing to learn, he teaches. And if he don't know the subject, well, there's lots of books. And if there ain't no book, Chester knows just about everyone, and can usually work out an apprenticeship of some sort.
Piper looked up and down the street, trying to decide which way to go. She chewed her lip for a moment, and then headed off towards the alley that would lead them back to the hustle and bustle of the main street.
"He's conniving, greedy, and a right bastard. But he does more good than any of them rich folk."
There was a sneer in her words as she gave the run-down surroundings a withering look.
"When they stopped funding the schools, he took up the mantle. When they kicked the poor out onto the streets, he gave them a place to sleep. Sure, he gets his money in the end, but more often than not, people ended over in gratitude rather than fear."
"Wish I felt the same,"
Vel scoffed as he tapped around the pockets of his coat, checking to make sure his items hadn't been pilfered. He breathed a sigh of relief when he felt the portal locker remains still inside his chest pocket.
"That's twice now I've almost been sold off. Let's go find your brother so I can get off this damn dimension before I wind up in a back alley chop shop."
"You could just hand over your augments."
Piper's proposal fell easily from her as she turned down another alley, as if she were suggesting he merely sell off a favorite pocket watch.
"I really can't."
This realm was still in its infancy of technology. How could he explain that his augments were what was keeping him alive? When the girl gave him an unconvinced look, Vel rolled his eyes.
"Let's just focus on getting into the college, all right?"
Piper came to a stop as they emerged onto a crowded street. She turned back to her companion and lowered her voice.
"Getting into the college won't be easy. They only let high-ranking military officers and members of the university inside. And you have to be accredited by the High Inquisitor himself."
"Are you sure this is a school and not some secret government base?"
Vel didn't like the idea of military officers swarming around this facility.
"I mean, sure, I guess you could consider it that. The members of the college work on top-secret projects. You know, usually for military applications. Though many of the mechanists are given free rein to tinker how they please, so long as they occasionally produce something that can either turn a profit for the military or blow something up in a brand new way."
Vel chose to overlook her finger quotes.
"Okay, so we head down to that merchant shop and get the coat back. Play the whole military emergency card again."
Piper shook her head.
"I don't think that will work. You can't just bluff your way past the guards this time. You need credentials. Besides, buying it back would cost us more than the initial trade. I mean, unless you were willing to exchange favors."
A smile broke over her face as she raised her brows.
"The old woman did seem to fancy you."
Vel shuddered.
"Not if my life depended on it. What else you got?"
Piper looked around. Having stopped in the middle of a busy sidewalk, they were starting to attract attention to themselves. She chewed on her lip and started walking. The coat wasn't a bad idea, she thought. It wasn't a great idea, but maybe he could bluff his way through the doors. She turned down an alley and began retracing her steps through the slums to make it back to the No Guard district.
"We can try haggling for the coat, but it's a long shot."
She stopped at the exit of the alleyway, staring at the bustling crowd moving before her. She deflated, turning a tired face toward Vel.
"Maybe we should just lay low. Wait until he shows up,"
Piper said, pausing to look up at her companion.
"Yeah, except that Chester said it could be up to a month. I have a feeling he would be all too happy to put us to work in the meantime, and I really don't want to think about what he would have in store for me."
"Fair enough."
Piper nodded as she exited the alley. The looming shadow of the ever-present floating metropolis and the gentle crackle of firelights welcomed them back. She tapped her chin.
"I guess..."
Her words were cut short as a commotion ripped through the bustle of the market. A group of people seemed to be charging in their direction. Vel stepped in front of Piper, his initial reaction to thinking it was the military. But as the crowd parted, he saw a single person, buck naked save for a floppy hat, tearing through the crowds of people at high speed. Piper peeked around her companion to see the source of the commotion. The naked man knocked over boxes, carts, trash cans, and crates in his attempts to escape a throng of scantily clad dragon women close behind. They were shouting in a native tongue, throwing insults and curse words at him, along with their shoes and anything else they could grab hold of. Vel's mouth remained ajar as the dark-skinned, yet oddly familiar man ran by them.
Oh, hey, Piper!
Vel couldn't help the tremor that began to spasm under his mechanical eye. A vague sense of déjà vu made his heart sink.
That was him, wasn't it?
The throng of dragon women bolted past them, still issuing curse words and producing a large number of shoes to throw. Piper sighed.
Yep, that's Atticus.
Of Tyrants and Teakettles is book 2 of the ongoing Psy Fantasy series by author Leslie Herron. Join us as the adventure unfolds, with new chapters releasing every few weeks.
One of the kids said you needed to see me. Is everything okay? Did he make it out of surgery?
What? No, he's perfectly fine. Daniel finished operating on him hours ago.
And you're just telling me that now?
Right. A bit of an oversight on my behalf. Sorry. But we have bigger matters to discuss. For instance, how much do you want for him?
Are you trying to buy him from me?
He's half dead, violent, and frankly, I just want to do you a favor to make up for how I handled the situation with your brother. Say, 500?
A favor? Right. Has nothing to do with old off-world augments on him. I bet a tinker at the university would pay 50,000. Favor my ass.
Piper, I only want what's best for... Oh, very well. Let's say 10,000 and I save you the trouble of finding a buyer?
He's not for sale.
20.
For any price!
How about an even 1,000 for just his arm? No? 750 for the elbow down. Fine. How much for just a finger?
Oh, you could have one of those for free. I've got a spare right here in my pocket.
You do? Oh, well, that's not very ladylike.